Welcome in to a very special edition of the Yank Report. I mean, first of all, it's St. Patrick's Day, so that's awesome. And because it's St. Patrick's Day, my main studio is being utilized for something else, so I'm over here. I try to make it as vibey as possible for y'all, and I think, you know, it looks pretty cool in here. But more importantly, we got a roster. We got the most important roster of our lives up to this point. It is the roster that is going to be used in this last round of World Cup qualifying that's going to determine whether the U.S. makes it into the World Cup. So let's go ahead and start this video off the way that we're supposed to. This is a live video, so Jared Ferreira, I do see your comment. Bill, I do see your comment. You guys are going to be able to comment, and let's get into this as we kind of reflect on these rosters and then get ready to go to our St. Patrick's Day celebrations, because I'm sure a lot of us out there are doing that right now. Before we get started, guys, we got to do some business. You know how it goes. Let's play this ad. It's going to be 30 seconds. We're going to be back, and then we're going to jump right into the roster. And now a word from today's sponsor. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy betting new year as we continue our march towards the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all betting action in 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, and of course soccer, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available in 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Woohoo! So now that we got that out of the way, let's hop right in, guys. I want to get your reactions, your kind of instant reactions to this roster, so definitely let me know in the comment section what you're thinking. But first of all, I think we should jump in where we always jump in, and that's the goalkeeper. So for this roster, we got Ethan Horvath, Sean Johnson, and Zach Steffen. And I think, you know, whenever we did our prediction video about what this roster would be, the big question was about Matt Turner and was about Zach Steffen. Now, luckily, Zach Steffen has returned to the lineup. I think that's absolutely massive. I mean, we've talked before on this channel about how Zach Steffen seems to be like a real leader on this team, a guy that the team looks to and is more than just a keeper for this squad. So I think it's very important to have him back in the squad. Hopefully he'll be able to go and we don't have to worry about that. Now, the big thing that kind of happened since we did our preview video was Ethan Horvath just kind of came back out of nowhere and started getting starts for his club and is looking really good. Seems to have earned a starting position there. So that really strengthened this position that we were really worried about. The big rumor with Matt Turner was that he, you know, got frostbite in the frozen game against Honduras, and hurt Gomez on whenever I interviewed him yesterday, actually debunked that on the channel, which was really cool. So we got that. I think the big omission is Gabby Slonina. That's the player everybody's excited about, the young teenager from Chicago Fire. But I think if we're honest, I think this is a good spot to be heading into the most important window of World Cup qualifying. I think I'm happy having kind of the older guys. I think I'm happy with Zach Steffen. I'm very happy with Ethan Horvath backing him up. We've seen Ethan Horvath come into a game where he absolutely has to show up, and we know what he can do. So I'm excited about that. And Sean Johnson's just been a part of the unit the whole time. So I think that we're pretty secure in this particular position as we move forward. Let's see. Samuel Saravia says no Brooks, no Carter Vickers. Yeah, we're going to get to the center backs next. Let's actually pull that up right now so we can get an instant reaction to that. So for our defenders, we've got Reggie Cannon, Serginho Dest, Aaron Long, Eric Palmer Brown, Anthony Robinson, Miles Robinson, James Sands, DeAndre Yedlin, and Walker Zimmerman. Honestly, the big surprise on this list for me is Eric Palmer Brown. We kind of talked about in the preview video that I didn't really expect many surprises on this particular roster. I didn't think that Greg was going to call too many people in that we haven't seen. And I don't recall Eric Palmer Brown being a part of of World Cup qualifying at all. I was not surprised at all that John Brooks isn't going to be on this roster. I didn't think Cameron Carter-Vickers was going to be on the roster because I didn't think that he was going to be bringing in many players that haven't been a part of this roster before. Eric Palmer-Brown was a huge surprise for me. I'm not super worried about no John Brooks or no Cameron Carter-Vickers. I think defensively is where this squad has shined throughout World Cup qualifying. I've been really happy with the performances of Walker Zimmerman and with Miles Robinson, and hopefully they'll be able to go for the for all three games. Now, the big question is you know, Chris Richards got injured in that last World Cup qualifying window, and he won't be a part of this team. So that is scary, because if we need to rotate, we won't have the three center backs that we've been rotating this entire time. Instead, it's going to have to be, you know, one of Eric Palmer-Brown, maybe James Sands. You know, these are guys that I don't know. Now, one name that we did call that we thought would be a part of the lineup and is Aaron Long. And you know, Craig Berhalter has been calling in Aaron Long for a number of these call-ups even before Aaron Long was healthy. So it made sense that when Aaron Long returned and was healthy, he would be a part of this lineup. So there's no surprise there. Let's see what Frank Kastler has to say. With no Brooks, people can stop pretending Berhalter cares about the quality of the squad and admit he prefers picking his lap dogs. I mean, you're coming with a lot of heat there, Frank. My favorite thing about like comments like that with coming with like a lot of heat is like you look at the heat coming off the comment and then you see like the default picture of like the really cute baby girl with the Bills Christmas hat on, like is the juxtaposition. As far as that, I've been saying this for a while and I don't know why it's so pervasive out there that a national team is always the best 23 players or whatever, you know, 28, whatever it happens to be, the best 23 players. It rarely is. It rarely is. Every coach has their favorites and every coach has players that they've banished into netherworld for whatever reason. I mean, Carlos Vela has been a standout as a Mexican international for some time, and he hasn't been involved with that group for a while. Whenever I talk to El Tri fans, they're always upset that Chicharito is not part of their lineup. In other parts of the world, Karim Benzema was not part of the France World Cup squad. Like there's always issues within rosters. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes between John Brooks and Greg Berhalter. I think it's pretty clear at this point that it's not a form thing. John Brooks has shown that he does have the form to be a part of this squad. We know that John Brooks can do things with his left foot from the back line that no other center back can in the pool. It's definitely not a quality issue or a form issue. It's certainly something else that's going on. But that's where I'm at with that. Shout out tactical manager. Talk about Breck Shea being snubbed. Tactical manager has done more for Breck Shea than I think any YouTube commentator has done for any player. I had not heard that name for some time until Filippo decided that he was going to be his guy. So I think if Breck Shea gets a bonus for jersey sold, I think that a percentage of that bonus belongs to Filippo. I would put my name behind that. If I'm Filippo, I'm sending him a DM asking for a check. Cole of Centauri donates $4.99 and says, ironic that our defense is so strong. Historically, our defense has been our weakest link. That's been the Greg Berhalter era and really kind of definitive of his team sort of wherever he's been. It's been about it's been about strong defense and just a struggle to score goals. We'll see what happens. We're going to touch on that as we get further along in the lineup, but we've got some offensive players playing really well, really, really well. And hopefully that form that they're showing from their club team rubs off on the national team. So we'll see how that goes. Let's see what Filippo, dude. I would donate back to the Breck Shea Foundation. Hopefully the Breck Shea Foundation is snake related. Hopefully it's about like recovering snakes from soccer facilities and returning them back to the wild. I think that would be a fantastic issue for Breck Shea to get behind. We just talked about the center backs. Let's move it over to the fullbacks. And in this roster, we have Reggie Cannon, Serginho Dest, Anthony Robinson, and DeAndre Yedlin. So that's more or less what I was expecting. Again, I know a lot of people want Scally. I was not expecting Scally because he just hasn't been a part of it. And that's sort of consistent with what Greg Berhalter's been doing. One of the frustrating things from last window was Greg called in three right backs and only one left back. And it seems like, you know, he enjoyed that so much that he decided to do it again. The big news regarding the fullbacks is, of course, Serginho Dest pulled up with a hamstring. What looked like a hamstring injury in his last game, which was a shame, man, because he was playing fantastic. He looked really good out there for Barcelona, but it did look like he limped off with a hamstring issue. Greg Berhalter was actually asked about that whenever the roster dropped on SportsCenter, and he said, you know, we're worried about it. He said it doesn't look good, and he said if he needs to bring somebody in, he gave four names. He said it could be, and he gave them in this order, by the way, if that's important to you. He said it could be George Bello, Joe Scally, Shaq Moore, or Sam Vines. So we'll see if Dest can go. Hopefully this injury is not as bad as we thought it was. I remember a few weeks ago whenever Gio Reyna pulled up lame, what looked like a re-injury of his hamstring, he was able to go fairly quickly after that. So maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's not a long-term issue. I mean, luck of the Irish today, right? We'll see what happens with that. But if not, George Bello looks George Bello's been playing. I think he's been playing pretty well for his club team. I'm excited about what he can do. I know we all want to see Joe Scally in there. I'm assuming it would be Bello, since his name that Greg Berhalter called first, and that we've seen him with the national team before. Eric C says, man, Sam looks like just like David Rose from Schitt's Creek. And it's something that my friends tell me. I've never actually seen that show, but people tell me that. So you're consistent with what a lot of my friends are telling me. Alex Cruz donates $2 and says, let Acosta start against Eltree, sit Adams. And I tend to agree with that. I know that there's a lot of people out there who feel like, you know, we should treat this Mexico game as a must win, and they're all must wins. But statistically, they're not. Statistically, we can beat Mexico and still, if Costa Rica and Panama get 9 points, we're still in a lot of trouble. The most important thing for us is, realistically, the most important thing for us is for Panama and Costa Rica to have bad windows. That's the most important thing. So if we can contribute to Panama and Costa Rica having bad windows, that result is mathematically more important than the Mexico result. Of course, it would be great to beat Mexico. Of course, it improves our chances to go to the World Cup to beat Mexico. I think that we have a lineup, even with sitting Adams and starting Acosta, I think we have enough quality players that we can really put it to Mexico over in Estadio Azteca. That's my personal belief there. And that's how I think that we're gonna hit it moving forward. But since you brought up Kellen Acosta, the midfielder, let's take a look at these midfielders. And there's a huge surprise here, guys. There's a massive surprise. I mean, can you guys tell me what it is? Can you pick out the missing name? Because I had to look at this roster a couple of times to see if it was there. And sure enough, it's not. Midfielders, we got Kellen Acosta, Tyler Adams, Gianluca Busio, Luca Della Torre, Yunus Musa, and Christian Roldan. So this is more or less exactly what I was expecting. The only thing that Greg has here that I wasn't quite expecting was Christian Roldan. We know that he kind of has a love affair with Christian Roldan. So a bit of a surprise there. But I've never been one to be upset about the extra players on the roster. I'm more concerned about the guys who are actually going to contribute. I don't think Christian Roldan is going to be playing a lot of minutes. You got a lot of quality players on this lineup that can really take care of it. But I think you guys are already calling it out. I mean, Samuel Cutts just right there, just razor sharp right here. No Sebastian Legette, man. No Sebastian Legette, which is a big surprise, I think, for a lot of people. I mean, I talked to a lot of people at the beginning of World Cup qualifying, throughout World Cup qualifying, that said Greg Berhalter was never going to drop Sebastian Legette, that there was just no chance. And here we are at the last World Cup qualifier, and Sebastian Legette's not there. He hasn't looked great for his new club so far. He hasn't played a minute for the national team, I think, since October.
And he's finally dropped from the national team. So I know a lot of people are going to be excited about that. I think Matt Murata says what I think a lot of people are saying is would love to have seen Mihailović get a shot over Roldan. Which is a sentiment that I've seen a lot of places. Jordy Mihailović is looking good right now in MLS. And I think he's one of those players that deserves an opportunity. He did get called into that December, January camp thing, whatever. And I think he's one of those players that's going to get that opportunity. If the U.S. is able to qualify, he's going to be one that gets brought in and gets a look. But I think in this particular position, I think when we're talking about, what are we talking about here? The fifth midfielder or something like that, which is what Roldan's going to be. I think this is more of a locker room guy. I think this is more of a guy that's going to be carrying his own bags, kind of being in there, just being a part of the group, knows what he's doing. You don't have to teach him the drills and practice or anything. That's sort of why Christian Roldan was brought in over Mihailović. But I am interested in seeing Mihailović. I mean, the big question with the midfielders is, you got no Weston McKennie and you're going to have Tyler Adams on a yellow card. So what happens? Is it going to be so we're not going to have the MMA midfield. Is it going to be Luca De La Torre getting a bunch of minutes? Is it going to be Jean-Luc Abusio getting a bunch of minutes? We know it's not going to be Sebastian Legette at this point. I've been a big Jean-Luc Abusio guy for a while. He's, you know, he hasn't played a ton of minutes. There was a few months ago, he was starting every game and going 90 over for his club team, Venezia. Sorry. Anyway, I always get criticized for my Italian pronunciation, which I don't think is fair because I'm from South Louisiana. I'm not supposed to be able to speak Italian. Anyway, you should see me order coffee. But besides that, Busio was like in great form for a while, and then all of a sudden his minutes have kind of been falling off. So I'm curious to see what happens there. We know what Luca De La Torre has been doing in the Dutch league. We know what he did in that last game against Honduras. We understand that Honduras was a super open game. It played really into his hands. It's going to be way different going up against Mexico in Estadio Azteca. I think that that Luca De La Torre would work better against Mexico, considering I think it's going to be a very transitional game, and I don't think Busio is as good in the transition game as Luca De La Torre. I think Luca De La Torre is way better whenever we're in possession, whenever we're sitting back and we can pick teams apart. He's a tempo guy. So I think that we're in good hands with Luca De La Torre. Certainly not as good as if Weston McKennie was there. But I'm pretty happy with Luca De La Torre right there. I think, you know, worst case scenario for me, what I don't want to see is Kellen Acosta playing an eight. I think Kellen Acosta has looked his best with the national team whenever he's playing the six. I think he can do that destroyer role really well. I don't think that he offers much in the offense. I think all the games that we've seen him whenever he's played further up the field have just been miserable. What games? The Panama game, the Canada at home game. I mean, it's just never been good. So that's what I'm worried about. But I do think that we're in good hands with the midfield that we got. I think it's going to be able to get it done. Mainala says Hoppy, and I don't understand that people have been still talking about Matthew Hoppy. Matthew Hoppy has got to get on the field for his club team. Like, I know that we have striker issues, but we do have players that are playing. We do have players that are getting minutes for their club, and Matthew Hoppy's at a low tier Spanish Premier Division club, and he's not able to get minutes. Whether that's a question of his form, there has been reports about his attitude or whatever else. If it's an issue with the coach, whatever it is, but whatever it is, he's got to get on the field. He's not going to get called into the national team unless he gets on the field. Let's move further up the field. Let's move into the forwards. We got Brennan Aaronson. I'm going to do the wingers first. We got Brennan Aaronson, Paul Areola, Jordan Morris, Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna, and Tim Weah.
And Greg brought a lot of forwards, man. That's a lot of guys. That's a lot of guys for not that many positions. And I think a big reason why he did that was because of Gio Reyna. We don't really know what the condition of Gio Reyna is going to be as we move into this window. If we get a few minutes here and there from Gio Reyna, I think the minutes that we get from Gio Reyna are going to be so good that it's just going to be worth it. But I feel like the bulk of the minutes are going to be eaten up by Christian Pulisic and Tim Weah. They're in Christian Pulisic is in tremendous form right now. I'm sure all you guys saw his Champions League goal over the weekend. I'm hoping that we see that Superman Christian Pulisic that we've been waiting for and qualifying all along. If we can get that guy, who's been playing for Chelsea the last couple of weeks, I think a lot of our offensive issues and worries are just gonna change the game for us. I think that Christian Pulisic that puts on the cape, that makes that run in behind and just has that deadly finish, is just a complete game changer for the U.S. men's national team. And if he's able to get those minutes, then I think that's a tremendous asset. Now, he also brought in Paul Areola. I think just to irritate Twitter, I think that's the only reason why he brought in Paul Areola. I'm not expecting him to get a ton of minutes. Guys, Chance Miller says hit the like button. I can't see the likes right now. I'm assuming that there's more people in here than likes. So if you haven't hit the like button, make sure you do that. Let's see. Alex Cruz says $2. What do you think of Gio as a super sub? I mean, I think Gio's... Boy, I think the absolute moon of Gio. And I think if you've been watching his minutes that he's been getting for Dortmund since he returned from injury, every time he's come on as a sub, he's impacted the game, whether that's an assist or like a really nice moment, a really nice opportunity. I think he just offers so much class. And he is a player that's, even at 19 years old, was just built and born and is ready for CONCACAF. And I think having him in this lineup just makes me feel so much better about everything as we head into this window. So whatever minutes we can get from Gio Reyna, whether it's 45 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is, I mean, I think he's going to change the game. Now, one name I haven't mentioned yet is Brendan Aaronson. And Brendan Aaronson has been, he had some really good games against Bayern Munich in the Champions League. He's an interesting player. I don't know that he fits kind of the same role that Gio Reyna or Christian Pulisic or certainly Tim Weah. Tim Weah has been absolutely electric on the wing for the U.S. men's national team. I don't know if he quite does those same things that those players do. And I don't know that we've quite seen the best Brendan Aaronson, like the Brendan Aaronson that we see over in Austria with the U.S. men's national team, but he's still a tremendous player. And to have a player like that, to have a player that Leeds wanted to buy for $30 million midway through the season as a player that's like at this point your fourth option off the bench is just a tremendous asset. Let's see what Chance has to say. He has a long comment here. Chance Miller says, we like finishing Pulisic and penalty shot Pulisic. We are not fond of the Pulisic that holds the ball too long and then gets crushed by a defender. Yeah, I think you're right on there, Chance. Yeah. The Christian Pulisic that we saw in the last window, who was just dropping in, throwing off the rhythm of the team, just holding the ball for way too long, making the decision to run at groups and defenders rather than just play it on. That guy didn't get it done for us. But since he returned to Chelsea, and I think a big part of that was that he released an interview with, I think, ESPN or somebody else, where he actually talked about being on the national team, feeling like he had to be the hero, feeling like he had to do it all himself, but realizing that there's enough quality around him on the national team that he doesn't have to do that, that he can just be one of the guys. And I think since he came out with that interview, his play for Chelsea has just turned around. We've seen him get the ball out of his feet so much faster, and that's allowed him to be effective all over the field. And he's getting the assists and getting the goals and making an impact. If we can get that guy for the national team, boys, if we can get that guy for the national team, I think qualifying is going to be a breeze. Christopher Morningstar says, can't wait to watch the upcoming games, but wish we weren't so close to the other teams for qualifying, especially coming off not qualifying for the last World Cup. Such a heartbreak. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're definitely in a position where we can get it done. It's one of those situations where
you know what? If you're the United States and you can't beat Panama at home, do you really deserve to go to the World Cup? It's one of those things. Like, you got to get it done whenever you have the opportunity. The U.S.'s form at home has been tremendous. The U.S. has Christian Pulisic, our best asset, coming into form right now, looking absolutely tremendous. Can they go out in a World Cup qualifier in Orlando, where just all the pressure will be on, and get it done? If they can do that, then they can qualify for the World Cup, and all of a sudden we're all very excited and having different conversations leading up to the World Cup. But that's basically how it goes. You got to win that game if you deserve to go to the World Cup. Let's move on to the forwards, and this is where there was a little bit of a surprise, at least for me. We got Jesus Ferreira, we've got Jordan Pefock, and we got Ricardo Pepi. So in my preview video, I had, instead of Jordan Pefock, I had Josh Sargent. I thought Greg was going to go with Josh Sargent because, of course, he went to Norwich versus Liverpool and actually watched Josh Sargent play, and I thought that was a great indication that Josh would be a part of the lineup. I also thought, you know, if you guys watch my video, what was it called? My beef with Greg Berhalter. It was all about not having a plan B and about knowing what was coming in CONCACAF and not changing. And I think whenever we think about what Jordan Pefock does well and what he doesn't do well, is he's not going to be able to play the system the way that Ricardo, Jesus Ferreira can. Jordan Pefock is not going to drop in. He's not going to link up. He's not going to bring other players into the game. Jordan Pefock is going to get into the box, and he's going to finish off chances. And that doesn't really work within Greg's system, but it does work if you're in CONCACAF and you've got 15 minutes left and the other team is bunkering down and you absolutely need a goal and you're just throwing things against the wall and hoping something sticks. He's a player that you can put in that situation and make it work. And I think there's a number of times throughout World Cup qualifying where we wished we had a player like that, but we simply didn't. So bringing in Jordan Pefock sort of represents, for me at least, that Greg is looking at this and thinking that maybe we need a change up. Maybe late in the game we're going to need something, and Jordan Pefock can be that guy. He's absolutely the most informed striker for the U.S. men's national team right now. Of course, that's not saying a lot compared to his competition. Speaking of that, the other guys, let's see, Ricardo Pepi comes in, the teenager, of course, just made the big move to Augsburg, and is not going well for him right now. The goals aren't coming. He's not getting a ton of minutes. He's not starting. Ricardo Pepi hit the ground running, guys. If you remember, Ricardo Pepi started getting starts for FC Dallas and getting goals right before the Gold Cup. So it was summer of last year. So it hasn't even been a full year since Ricardo Pepi broke into his team at FC Dallas, overtook Frank O'Hara for the starter's job, started scoring goals, started getting the press, gets brought into the national team, scores for the national team, starts really blowing up, then makes the record move over to Augsburg. And all of a sudden, as a teenager, is trying to figure out, you know, how to speak German and how to live in Germany and just the craziness of the world. It hasn't even been a year. It's all come so fast. So I'm not super surprised that Ricardo Pepi would be struggling. I think if you're a teenager, I mean, I'm sure a lot of us have like moved out at 18 to go to college and maybe moved into a new city, but boy, to move into a new city. And oh, by the way, somebody gave you a boatload of money to perform as soon as you got to that new city. And oh, by the way, it's in a different language and you don't know anybody and everything is different. The food is different. It's just a remarkably tough situation. And I'm assuming that Ricardo is a remarkably tough young man. I think he's going to get through it. But right now it is a concern. It is a concern. And to round out the strikers, it's Jesus Ferreira. I've been high on Jesus Ferreira for a while. I think he does a lot of great things. I've been watching for FC Dallas. One thing about FC Dallas is they run a very similar offense to Greg Berhalter. So you get to see Jesus Ferreira in that striker position playing more or less the type of striker role that he would play for Greg Berhalter. And he's been doing really well for FC Dallas. He does so well linking up, finding players in behind, kind of getting into good positions. The thing he hasn't done well so far for FC Dallas is score goals. He's had chances, but he hasn't been able to get them in the back of the net. Now, I think that, what have we had, 3 or 4 games in MLS this season? I think if Jesus Ferreira continues to put himself in that position, the goals are going to come. And I think if those goals do come, if he gets a double-digit goals this season in MLS, like, he's the type of player that with his skill set, with all of his abilities, if he can score goals, if he can add that to his game, he'll be an absolutely just sought after prospect. One of those guys that somebody's going to pay a boatload of money to get out of MLS. It's just a matter of getting those goals. I think that they're going to come. I think that Jesus Ferreira gets a lot of minutes for this national team. I think that he starts in that Panama game. I would say Ricardo Pepi starts against Mexico, and then Jesus Ferreira starts against Panama. And then Jordan Pfaff, kind of that change-up guy that gets brought in the end. But I do think, I mean, so much is riding on Christian Pulisic. If Christian Pulisic can be that dude, if he can be that number 10 for Chelsea, that guy that we see in the Champions League, in the Premier League, it's just going to take so much pressure off of everybody else. Minala says, what a $5 donation. Why do you think CCV wasn't called up? Why does GGG hate us? Bonus, Slow Nina, the kid is fire. Well, I would say first of all, there's some quality players for the national team. I think we got to respect that. I think that at the center back position, I think that Miles Robinson has been really good. And I think that Walker Zimmerman has been really good. I also think that the system that Greg runs, and we know that Greg has been really slow to call players in. I don't think that he's interested in bringing in players that haven't been a part of it. I was really surprised when Eric Palmer Brown got brought in. So I wasn't expecting a lot of outsiders to be a part of this lineup. I think CCV is one of those players that absolutely deserves a look. I put him in the same category that I kind of put Georgi Mihailovic in earlier, of players that if we qualify for the World Cup, I think you bring in Scally, you bring in a lot of these guys. You know, you get Conrad back in. Maybe you bring in Matthew Hoppe and kind of see what else is out there. But I didn't expect a lot of changes throughout World Cup qualifying. And honestly, I mean, the last window, it's so important. You've got to get this done in order to qualify. Just so much is on the line. Now is not really the time to bring in a center back that hasn't been a part of this unit. And I think that that makes sense. I don't know that GGG hates you. I don't think that GGG cares about whether or not we like him. I think that that's a vibe that I get from him. And that's something that I sort of hear from whenever I talk to some of the people in the industry who have known him. I mean, I asked Jimmy Conrad whenever I interviewed him specifically about that. Does Greg Berhalter care about being liked? And Jimmy was like, no, it's not really who he is. I think he has like a business relationship with a lot of his players. And I think there's a lot of respect there. But as far as being a dude that people are going to like, I don't think he cares about that one bit. And I think that that has added to a lot, fueled a lot of this fire of why the fan base has not had a love affair with Greg Berhalter. Bonus, Slow Nina, the kid is fire. Yeah, he'll get his opportunity, man. But this is the last winter of World Cup qualifying. I mean, look at the guys that he brought in. Sean Johnson has been with the group the whole time. Ethan Horvath has started getting starts and has shown that he can come off the bench and be a trusted player for this national team. And Zach Steffen, who has been, I mean, he's been a captain. He's basically been getting starts every time that he's available. I kind of get why you wouldn't bring the teenager in this particular window. He's definitely one for the future. I don't think that 2022 is Gabby Slonina's year. I think he's going to be one for 2026 down the road, which is totally cool, man. I mean, goalkeepers hit their peak way later. This guy is an absolute baby in the world of soccer, especially in the world of goalkeeping and soccer. So I'm not really bumming on that. I think that Gabby just needs to worry about continuing to get those clean sheets and continuing to build up that resume and waiting for that big boatload of money to roll in when someone asks for services somewhere else. So that's the roster, guys. That's the roster. So what are we thinking right now? What are the big things? I think a lot of people are talking about John Brooks right now. I think that for the most part, all of the players that we wanted to be on the roster are in the roster. I think that, as always, there's going to be people upset about the guys who are like the back end of the roster. Who's the sixth center back or the fourth right back or the 11th midfielder? Everybody's going to be mad at that. I've never really just been one to get upset about that. But I do think all the players that we need to qualify for the World Cup are here. the Serginho Dest injury is going to be one that is really concerning. Serginho Dest is just one of those game-changing players. I mean, we saw it against Costa Rica, just what he can do. He's so influential, and he works so well with Tim Weah on that right wing. They develop such a chemistry. And he's playing so well for Barcelona right now. I mean, Xavi came in and talked about getting rid of him, saying he wasn't up to the grade. And then, you know, he kind of fought his way back onto the squad and has been looking really, really good. So I'm really disappointed for Serginho Dest personally, because he seems to really be turning a corner. And how do you not like Serginho Dest, the way that he plays, the way that he just seeks out Megs at every opportunity, the way that he just like dazzles, just does no look stuff, just wants to bury a defender every chance he gets the ball, loves baguettes. Like, what's not to like about this kid? Let's see. I think Kicking Balls FC, which is just, I mean, what a name. What a name, just on the money, just right nail on the head. Kicking Balls FC. He asked the most important question, the question that we all should be worried about. Does this team qualify? And honestly, I think it does. I think this team has all the pieces necessary to qualify. I don't know how you could be think otherwise at this point. I mean, I know that we've had bad performances in the past. I know that this game, soccer, this game that we love so much, has a ton of variance and kind of anything can happen. But I think if we end up not qualifying, it's not going to be because of the roster. It's going to be because of maybe coaching decisions, maybe personnel decisions, and maybe players not getting it done on the field. I think we got everything we need to qualify at this point, guys. Let's a few more questions and then we'll wrap it up, because there is literally a St. Patrick's Day party going on right outside. I don't know if you can hear the Zydeco music coming through the studio right now, but it is happening in the street. 100 yards from me is like a massive St. Patrick's Day party, and I want to get to it. I got my leprechaun shirt on. I'm ready to rock. Let's see. Garrett Tucker says, I sort of agree in regard to fans, but I think Greg really cares and wants the players to like him. Hence the sort of disingenuous, weird love of sneakers and using the term sicko mode. He's an interesting dude. I don't think he like apologizes for who he is very much. I think we've seen in those moments where on the sidelines, where you see like that intensity flow through him, and you see kind of the guy who was remembered as like a very fiery and very all business player. Like, I don't know if you guys remember Greg Berhalter as a defender for the national team, but that was sort of who he was. He was all business. He wasn't looking to make friends on the national team. He was looking to get playing time and get it done. He was like a hard-nosed guy. And I think we see that reflected as a manager. I think he has a lot of intensity, and I don't think he cares whether we like him or not at all. I don't think he cares what you think about his shoe choices or anything else. I think he's a bit of a prick, probably, you know, if we're being honest, but that doesn't really matter at this point. He's the guy who's going to lead the team heading into Azteca. He's the guy that's going to be leading the team against Panama. He's the guy that we need to get it done. So I'm all guns a-blazing, hoping this dude gets it done. Chance Miller says topped 100 likes. Chance, I mean, 80% of those likes are on you. You accounted for 80 of those likes. You've been working hard. I appreciate it. I hope you find yourself a green beer or something like that tonight. Cole of Centauri donates $4.99, says, if we beat Panama, we're in the playoffs. If Canada also ties Costa Rica, we clinch directly. And yeah, there's a lot of circumstances that allow us to qualify. And I think the biggest ones are like if Panama and Costa Rica screw up royally. The last thing that we want is for Panama and Costa Rica to have a 9-point window. That's worst case scenario. So in the scenario where we're like, we beat Mexico, but we lose to Panama and we lose to Costa Rica, that ain't good. That's not what we want. We really want to, beat Panama. And I mean, we want to beat everybody. Honestly, we want a 9-point window. That's what we really want. We want to, go out and get as many points as we can. But the most important game is that Panama game. All right, guys, I think that about wraps it up, right? Like, what else we got to talk about at this point? I think, I'm happy with the roster. I think the majority of the players that I thought would get in are in. I think this is a roster that can absolutely get it done. I want to thank you guys for coming in. Thank you for the comments. This has been a blast. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Of course, if you want this content on podcast, you can find the Yank Report podcast everywhere podcasts are podcasted. Shout out to my tier two members, Manuel Olivares and Mike Irish. If you want to become a member, you get special perks. You can see some members only videos. You get like a cool badge in the comment section. A lot of cool things that come with being a member. And you get to directly support the channel, which is awesome. But it's not completely necessary. The best thing you can do to support the channel is hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Boys, we are on the road to 10,000 subscribers. Can you believe that? 10,000 subscribers. I started this channel, what, like 14, 15 months ago? And I remember starting the channel with zero subscribers and looking at it and just watching it, seeing like one, two views come, and then all of a sudden one subscriber, and then all of a sudden two subscribers, and just being so fired up whenever we hit like 100 subscribers. And now we're 1,000 away from 10,000. Massive. I didn't realize that the U.S. soccer community was so big and passionate out there, and it would grow so much. And it's just been such a fun ride, and I appreciate all you guys for being a part of it. I want to end the video with just putting that up on the screen. If you're listening to the podcast, you're going to have to watch the video to see what it says. I think it wraps up the sentiments very nicely. Let's get out of here. Let's enjoy some St. Patrick's Day fun. Thank you guys for tuning in. My name is Sam, and this is the Yank Report, brought to you by Bet Online. Woohoo!